Well, it was so close last night, folks. Trevor Story doing his best to give Herman Marquez a no-hitter and get into Rockies history. Would have been the second all-time. Story, did you see Story leap at shortstop the eighth inning? The vertical leap looked like David Thompson last night. Unbelievable. And then this.
Line drive, base hit.
Man, what an effort. Stand up and cheer right now, fans. Thank you.
Yeah, ninth inning, and it gets away. First batter of the ninth inning. Marquez gives up a base hit. Herman, what a great effort, too. In a year where the Rockies have been just so little in the highlight realm for the Rockies. Yes, they're the fourth-best team with home records in baseball. They're also easily the worst road team in the league. Trying to figure that out, how the Rockies can get there. But, boy, in a season with very few highlights, Herman Marquez almost gave us a big one. Isn't it great to sit? I don't care who it is, what team it is. I don't care what team you're rooting for. It is so cool to sit and watch a possible no-hitter. But great stuff last night, no doubt about it. And Herman, great effort for him. I just can't believe the play that Story made. How did he get that high? I mean, talk about athleticism for T. Story. Pretty good stuff. But Rockies end up winning 8-0 over the Pirates last night. They out-hit him 15-1. So Marquez with the win, even though he just pitches the one-hit shutout, 7-6. For the year for Herman Marquez. Rockies now 11 and a half games ahead of Arizona for the booby prize in the National League West. We'll talk about that in a second. I'm Clark Johnson. Welcome to the whole show. I'm in for Brady Hull. Colfax making this thing. At least it's 30, what would we got? 23 more minutes, and then we go to Rockies pregame. So I can't drive this into a ditch too far, but you're here to help me in case we get screwy.
I got your hand, man. We're okay. We'll be okay.
Right on. The whole show powered by PDC Energy for all your Hulligans. Yep, Brady Hull will be back on Monday, maybe Tuesday. We don't know what's happening yet for Monday, being the day after 4th of July, but I think we've got a show. But next week for sure, Brady's back and in charge for everything here on the whole show. So talking about the Rockies there and their situation, it's been a year where, well, we're disappointed with the Nuggets. I thought the Nuggets would go to probably the Western Conference Final, at least there. I thought the Avs were going to win a Stanley Cup. I still think they're the best team. Maybe they're just not the best team when it comes to winning big games. We'll find that out with this group. There's going to be the expansion draft with the Seattle Kraken coming up for the NHL. I get that. They probably lose Ryan Graves as probably the first guy to go for the Avs. But this team stays intact, and they might be the favorite again next year for the betting as far as the NHL goes. We'll find that out. But they haven't. This group has not won the big one, so maybe that's the question. In a year with those two teams kind of flailing out in the playoffs, and then you want the Rockies to do something, and they pretty much just rolled over. All right, number four home record, I get that. Love Coors Field, everything about it, it's good stuff. But on the road, easily the worst team. 6 wins on the road for the Rockies all year. I told you, they're 11.5 games ahead of Arizona in the National League West, so they're not going to finish in last. They're not going to get the booby prize. But they're still 4 games behind Arizona on the road. The Rockies have 6 wins. The next worst team is Arizona with 10 road wins. So Rockies just can't find themselves with both hands on the road. So we'll find out what they do. Rockies have, what do they got? Pirates today, bottom of the hour, we go right to pregame, then 1:10 first pitch, and then a 4-game set after that, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, at home, at Coors Field against the St. Louis Cardinals. And then they hit the road, Rockies do. They'll be at Arizona, try to make up some money there, and then they got to go to San Diego, which will probably be a sweep the way the Padres are playing. And then after that, it's the All-Star break. So All-Star break will be here before you know it, here in Denver. So if you get a chance, kind of a weird thing that they got the All-Star break. They just kind of threw it to Rockies and Coors Field in the middle of COVID here. So kind of cool stuff. But that's all coming up for the Rockies. On our program today, we're going to talk congratulations, first of all, to all the state champion high school baseball teams that won. But the one that meant the most to us and the one that we kind of dealt with all year was simply the Eaton Reds winning their 12th state title. Todd Hernandez gets his first as a coach. And I don't want to say monkey off the back for Todd, but you know, he was a big part of the Danley era as an assistant coach with the team. Jim Danley and the Reds won 11 state titles. This is the first one out of that regime. I know Bob Irvin took over for a year before before Todd Hernandez did. But Todd has been such a – he's an Eaton baseball guy. Plus, he's been the girls' basketball coach for 100.5 years over there. So, and taking that girls' basketball team to a lot of close calls, too, I just think this is big for him, kind of to pass the torch from Danley to the next era of state champions. And it's all Eaton seems to do at the school. What the school have 4 state titles this year. They call individual track titles. You can call it 5 or 6, I think. But just an unbelievable year for the Reds, and then the school season before that, at the end of the year, they're winning the wrestling title. So it's just one title after another for this incredible town of Eaton. But for Todd Hernandez, yeah, I think it's just a huge one. He was really emotional on the field after the ball game, and we're going to catch up with Todd here in about 6 or 7 minutes and talk to the head coach about what it meant, how they celebrated, talk about this team, the 3 great seniors on this team, and then all these kids coming back. There's so many good players coming back. I think the Reds will. Sometimes you see the preseason rankings in high school and you go, they're just picking whoever won it the year before. That'll be the case. The Reds did win it, and they will be the preseason champion again, because they're going to lose some great seniors. Ryan Uhr, Logan Mosier, who never lost. Either one of them never lost as a Red pitching. And Cole Shoemaker, the second baseman, the senior. They're all leaving. Great seniors, I get that. But my goodness, look at the Reds. I can just lay the field out for you next year for the Reds. Dirk Duncan's going to be back at third. Walker Martin, the super soft, he's going to be back at short. They'll have to get a second baseman. You probably get Jared McCormick over at first. He hit almost 500 this year in limited at-bats, but he was terrific, just a junior. Ben Richter, what a year for him. He'll be back in left field next year. You've got Jaden Stone, who was fabulous down the stretch after kind of a rough start. Jaden was terrific. He'll be back in center. Ryder True, he won't be in right field. He's going to be back behind the dish. He blew his knee out, or he would have been the starting catcher this year for the Reds. Congrats to Brogan Barr and to Gunnar Duncan for getting back behind the dish and helping the Reds out this year. That was huge. But Ryder should be back. I think his dad said he's going to play behind the dish a little bit in summer ball here coming up. They didn't want to stress the knee out after surgery, after blowing it out in football. But, yeah, he'll be back. And the list goes on and on. And when you talk about McCormick on the hill, Mitch Haythorne, how about Mitch Haythorne? I'm going to ask Coach about that. Haythorne came in the second to last game. They're playing Lutheran for the chance to get to the Saturday championship Saturday without any losses, which was huge for the Reds. But Mitch came in relief of Ryan Uhr. He hit they're up by 1. A freshman. If I'm a freshman and I'm in a state championship game, I'm shaking. And he hits the first 2 batters with a 1-run lead after Uhr hands him the ball and says, here, finish for me. And the freshman, I would have melted at that point. And the freshman, what does he do? He gets out of the inning, strikes out a pair, gets another guy to jump out. And Mitch Haythorne gets the save, the freshman. That was unbelievable. Talk about a freshman playing like a senior right there. Crazy good stuff. And then, of course, the Reds go on. Under Logan Mosier. Mosier, another. What a great year for Logan. Didn't lose any ball games as a Red in 2 years. Sophomore, didn't play as a junior, of course, due to COVID. But then undefeated again this year. So Mosier, I truly think that Mosier and Uhr are both going to be first-team All-Staters. The Patriot League All-State team came out yesterday, and it's like a list. First and second teams, pretty much everybody on the Eaton roster. So we'll come back in a moment. We'll talk to the coach, Todd Hernandez, in a second when we come back on the other side. The whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Clark Johnson in for Brady Holt today. Back in a moment in this abbreviated version of the whole show. Back in a moment on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
It's a party. Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. It's a party. Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We've got about 11 minutes till we get to Rockies baseball. Rockies pregame show, bottom of the hour, 1:10, first pitch today. So hang on for that. Rockies are at home, so they've got a chance today. I was really, really proud to be able to call the state championship game, 24th state championship game I've called in 15 years, and really proud of the Eaton Reds team. Got to know these guys pretty well, and what a great group of kids. I mean, couldn't be a better group of parents and kids, man. Fantastic stuff out there. But really happy for Todd Hernandez, the fourth-year head coach here, but he's Eaton baseball. I mean, all the way back playing and coaching in the Jim Danley years, but the first, it's the 12th team title, but the first for Todd as a head coach. He's up on the hotline with us right now. Todd, how are you?
I'm doing great, Clark. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Congratulations, man. This is huge, and we'll talk about the team in a second, but for you, I mean, you're an Eaton guy. I mean, baseball, Eaton baseball, you've been the girls' basketball coach forever and a day, but you're an Eaton baseball guy. Played there, your dad coached, it's been a long road, and a lot of years with you and Jim Danley winning championships there, too. You get one, it's your first. How big is this for you?
Oh, you know, it feels really good. Like you said, I grew up with Eaton baseball. I used to spend all my summers there as a kid at the field, just hanging out, bugging the high school kids and all those kind of things. And my dad coached there, like you said, for Coach Stanley. And then I was able to help out in a lot of summers for Legion teams and things like that. So I feel tremendous relief, I guess you could say, because there is a little bit of a pressure, I would say, when you're following in the footsteps of Coach Stanley, and you want to make sure that you make him proud and you make the community proud, and that you are able to carry on the tradition of Eaton baseball. So very happy, very relieved, but obviously it's the kids' title. They are just a wonderful group of kids. I couldn't have asked for a better group to win my first title with.
Boy, that you said it. It's a terrific group of kids who really did what they were supposed to this year. I think they grew mentally throughout the whole year. I mean, we knew they had the tools to do it, but they had to bring it between the ears, too, and they really did. And a great group of parents, too, I got to say.
Oh yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Talent wise, we knew that we were going to be, athletically and gifted as far as baseball goes. But their understanding of the game, what we needed them to do, their unselfishness was just amazing to see. When we were trying to piece together different lineups and we wanted to see things, or just trying to get pitchers innings because our pitching staff was so deep, and we're trying to get guys innings, or we're trying to get at bats for other guys, and they were so unselfish. I didn't have one issue with these kids saying, well, what about me?
Sure.
Even from the guys on our role players, or the guys that didn't really get to play a lot, even at the state tournament, I mean, they were keeping pitching charts. Bryce Smith, who got in to run just very at the end of the state title game.
Sure.
Man, he kept every pitching chart towards the end of the year. And he was in the game with Coach Longwell, pitch by pitch, talking through things, helping out there. And Dylan Laswell running out to warm up guys and doing his thing. And Cade Gentry and Austin Martinez, who just ran, and Hayden Vigoria, who ran for our pitchers all year long.
Yep,
those role guys were just so huge for our program, and they knew that their name wasn't going to get in the paper, and it wasn't going to be about them, and they were like, we want to win. And so our guys that, the Logan Mosiers and the Ryan Ears, the Cole Shoemakers and stuff like that, they showed just as much respect towards those guys, too. They understood the role that they were playing. So within the team, the chemistry was phenomenal. It was just a great group of guys and what they did. And like you said, the parents were very supportive. They let the coaches coach and do their thing. And, you could tell the number of people that we had out there on Saturday was just amazing. Yep. And so after the game, just hugging parents and hugging kids and all those kind of things is something I'll never forget.
Boy, that is for sure. What a great scene out on the field. I got emotional, too. I mean, I tell you, it was fun, no doubt about it. Champions find ways to win. I kept saying, man, this team has got so much poise. Look at the chances. And you go, okay, 12 titles, 34 straight trips to the state championship, which is a video game number. People will go, oh, well, it's just easy. They get there. No, this is anything but easy. Look at the close calls. Brush in the regional final. You guys trailed 4-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning. Lamar, you're tied 5-5 in the first state championship game. Brutal game. 5-5, seventh inning. You put up 11 runs in that seventh inning. Classical Academy, first matchup. You came from behind four times your team did to win that game. This team just had poise and just would not quit.
It was unbelievable to see. And when we fell behind the Brush 4-1, we talked after that inning, after that top half of the inning, and we called them together and we said, hey, the great thing about baseball is that it's not over until that last out is made. So we have two at bats and let's find a way to get it done. And they did, and it just took one at bat. We turned around and scored five runs in the bottom of the sixth. And we talked about it as coaches. I said, you know what? Winning this way is going to benefit us down the road. It's not, you know, instead of going out and just winning 6-4 where you're led the whole way or those kind of things, facing that adversity and facing that hey, we're on the brink of being eliminated here and having to fight through that, we knew that would benefit us down the road. And so it was just a different feel. Like you said, when it was 5-5 against Lamar, well, you know, we were down 2-1 early against Lamar.
That's right.
And then they tied it 5-5 after we had taken the lead. You know, it was just a sense, and going into the seventh there, they brought in their ace to close it out, and our kids were like, all right, well, let's get it done. And then, same thing against TCA, down 4-1.
You bet.
We was like, all right, let's find a way to get it done. And so it was just that feeling in the dugout of not, hey, you know, it was going to be, how are we going to get this thing done? It wasn't going to be if we were going to get it done. It was going to be how is it going to play out? And the mental toughness that they showed and the way that, again, they pieced together at bats and pulled for each other, it was awesome.
Your second to last game on Friday, the 2-1 win over Lutheran. I mean, that's a pivotal game, too, because you win that, you get to Saturday where they've got to beat you twice. And with your staff, we knew that probably wasn't – nobody could probably do that. But what I wanted to go to, the spot of the game, I thought, was the freshman, Mitch Haythorne, freshman in a state championship game. You put it, Ryan, your hands him the baseball, says, go take care of it in the last inning for me. He comes out there. He plunks the first two batters. I would have melted, Todd, if I was a freshman and on that mound. But what did Mitch do? He bared down and got the rest of them, got the save. Even the freshman, Mitch Haythorne, who's going to be terrific in the next few years, even you guys were even shown by a freshman on that team how good this team was.
Oh, it was awesome. And, you know, Ryan had pitched his tail off that entire game and did great. We knew Lutheran was going to be a tough out, and that was kind of our mindset. You know, we had a lot of different ways we could approach that game, and they're like, you know what, we're going to go at them with our horses. And we knew Ryan could, you know, they're such a good team with the deep staff as well. We wanted to eliminate them and not give them a chance to come back around. And so Ryan pitched that, and he pitched great six innings. And, man, he was geared up to wanting to go out there. He'd reached his pitch limit.
And That's right.
And so he wanted to go back out, but you're right, we had to bring in Mitch. And, you know, it was kind of those things that we talked afterwards as coaches. We're like, you know, shoot, I must have been crazy. I'm turning a 2-1 game over against the number one seed in the tournament. I'm turning it over to a freshman. But you're right, Mitch isn't an ordinary freshman. Nope. He went out there and, you know, he goes about his business the same way, you know, the entire year he had gone about it. And it's always yes, sir, and sounds good, and okay. And, you know, he's not a man of many words. And so he went out there and, yeah, sure enough, hits the first two kids with the first two pitches, and I went out and talked to him, and I just wanted to lighten the mood a little bit because well, shoot, this might be it. So I said, hey, Mitch, you're supposed to let them try to hit you. You're not trying to hit them. And he just looks at me and goes, yeah, okay. and I think it was Walker Martin said, hey, Mitch, he's joking.
No, it's a joke.
And so, yeah, we just said, hey, lock in, all right, just you and Brogan, lock in, just this kind of tunnel vision right now. And sure enough, he went 3-0 on the next kid, but then went back with three straight strikes, struck him out. Long fly ball out to right field where Cade Gentry, a defensive replacement, had made a nice read on it and got the out, and then strikes out the final guy on what I think is going to be a really nasty slider for years to come. So, he did a great job.
A lot of kids coming back. I mean, it just reads so many great players coming back for you. But we've got about 45 seconds. I know that's not enough time to talk about this, but three great seniors, Ryan Uhr, Logan Mosier, Cole Shoemaker. I mean, that was a great place to kind of focus on getting the leadership this year.
Oh, they were awesome. Can't say enough about those three. We knew about Ryan and Logan going in, and Cole, so unselfish, shifted from shortstop to second base. and that kind of set the tone right there. But those three guys, we're actually, I'm going to go meet them here in about a half hour, and we're sitting down, and we're going to pick out championship rings together. So we're going to make that decision. But those three guys are awesome. I love them to death, and I'm going to miss them terribly.
Todd, congratulations, man. Can't be happier for you guys in Eaton and for you personally. Great stuff, and rock and roll. Go get them next year.
All right. Thanks, Clark. Thanks for all you do for our Northern Colorado sports.
You bet. There's Todd Hernandez, head baseball coach at Eaton High School. His first state title as a head coach. 12th team title. Unbelievable stuff. Best number in any sport for any school in the state. Just crazy, crazy good stuff right there. All right. Rockies baseball is coming up next. We've got the pregame show. 1:10 first pitch. Pittsburgh Pirates. Let's see. I didn't even look to see who's throwing after Marquez almost got the no-no last night. Pretty cool stuff right there. Then the Rockies will hit the road after that. Brady Hull, he'll be back next week, folks. Hooligan, stand in line. He's coming back next week. I'm Clark Johnson. Have a great, great Wednesday right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
1310 KFKA Greeley, Fort Collins, and Loveland now interrupts our regular programming to bring you this special sports broadcast.
He's on deck.
One ball, two strikes.
At the
two,
another 0-2.
And the pitch.
I'll hit the right.
She goes.
And it is.
Goal!
Touch them all time.
The On Deck Show is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products. Denver's lumber choice for fencing, decking, siding, and more. Visit rmfp.com. And brought to you by Xfinity Mobile. Your wireless, your rules. By Century Casino in Central City. Come for the action, stay for the fun.
Swing and a drive.
And by Shump Subaru. One price, one person.